get comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the host, internationally acclaimed medium, Nick Zobiedra.
Hi, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show. Mick and I are spirit mediums, healers and authors, and for the next hour we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when an evolved spirit who last walked the earth in 1723 communicates with us through Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling. As usual on the show, spirit guide Gregory Hay will borrow Mick's body to bring information that will expand your knowledge about life on earth, the universe and other dimensions. And this week we are going to be talking about vibration, and that is understanding vibration.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirits Work on bloggingservice.com and bbsradio.com on Mondays at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time and every Thursday at 5 p.m. EST, we also have another show called Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. EST. And if you would like to know more about us, our books and our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. Each week on our show, our spirit friends give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back. And this is exactly how it should be, because we wouldn't want any thoughts and feelings from my mind to get in the way of the communication. Oh, it's bye from me then.
Okay, thanks, Mick. So Mick's going to, what he normally does is have a drink of water, takes his glasses off, have a drink of water, and then he'll go off into the trance state. And the next voice you hear will be Gregory. And this is what we mean by being the pure channel that he is, because Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of high intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consist of eminent scientific minds of all description along with ordinary people. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to point us towards a more positive route. They're an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. They're also responding to a need from our planet, because it is essential that we change our behaviour towards it. They bring us information that helps us to look at our world with a different perspective, as well as anything and everything beyond our world, in trying to help us to look at the bigger picture of life. And like Mick said, if you would like to know more about us or our work, please go to www.spirit-teaching.com and you can find out more about us on there. We have books and lots more information for you. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend.
Hi.
Hello. Good day to you. Once again, then, it is with the absolute love we are here, and naturally, of course, we are so privileged and delighted to take part in this program that you have arranged for us.
Well, we're all thrilled. Pleasure's ours. And today we're going to be talking about vibration and understanding vibration.
Yes.
Where would you like to start?
Well, to begin with, to many people on your side of life, you may not understand the word vibration or what that can mean to you as a human being. After all, for many of you, you may not think that you vibrate at all. You walk along in your life, you think and you act, you have dreams, you have all kinds of situations which come upon you, and really, you never sense anything of what the term vibration may mean to you as a physical being. After all, you do not actually feel, perhaps, that you are vibrating at all. The whole connotation of the word, perhaps, may mean to you that you should feel as though you are actually making some kind of movement, as that is what the word itself means in your language. So, language, then, perhaps, is a form of barrier to your understanding the meaning of words. words are always things that complicate your and our understanding, because it depends upon what one another thinks or how they are taught as to the meaning of words in its first instance. So vibration itself then, my dear friends, is really to do with the whole situation of how your feelings become uppermost and affect your temperament. So your temperament is what is the issue of your emotional content. That is to say that how you are feeling during your day's events are going to be things which will affect your emotional state of being. This means if you think in a specific way, perhaps because an event has been negative toward you, then you will find yourself plummeting in the feelings of emotion that you have. You will become more susceptible to sensitive situations. You will perhaps be more aware of situations as they become, as it were, more volatile toward you. You react to this, and in a sense, to a certain extent, you switch off to the effects that may be coming toward you. And this is because you have an inner mechanism of instinct and survival. This helps you to remain sometimes calm during an event which otherwise would leave you angry. This is a preventative measure for you physiologically, so you do not become too angry at many issues. Perhaps for some people, they may become over angry at even the smallest thing, will tip their scales, will actually release folds of anger purely and simply because they are out of balance. So what we are saying then, dear friends, is that the whole issue to do with vibration is to do with the way of your well-being. Now, if you feel your well-being is on a good and even keel, you perhaps may notice more that when you are in harmony, your vibration is lifted. You feel lighter in yourself. You do not feel so sluggish and heavy. You feel more able to cope with events of the day or whatever is thrown at you. It is as though you are riding this tidal wave, this surge of energy and power. So this is something that is actually a physical event. It isn't something that is just in your mind, not a psychological addiction or a situation which merely comes about because your response is gained to a higher sensitivity. It is something that is actually a part of what makes you feel better. You are releasing endorphins, after all. You are releasing pheromonic activity, chemical reaction within your physical state. You are, by doing this, heightening awareness of things around you and, in fact, creating a greater vibration through doing so. Now, when you vibrate at a certain rate, as I say, you may feel happy. Your happiness brings out a certain sparkle within your activity. You feel as though you can cope with many things, which means that you are able to provide strategies to cope with more things than you could have coped with before had you not had a higher vibration. What this means then is that you actually intensify your behavior, your activities, and they become more fluid because your vibration, in fact, is of a higher wavelength. So what exactly do I mean by vibration? This is the extent to which your happiness overrides situations of anger or resentment. Therefore, you are able to perhaps ride these waves, which some would actually define perhaps as giving pleasure zones. They would be a similar way in which you feel that you can ride, have an ability to increase your emotional strength and also your ability to cope with situations. Now this means, dear friends, that what is a vibration? Is it something that you can actually feel? Yes, it is. It is something that is actually peculiar to the human trait because they are able at times to respond well to upper sensitivities and higher vibrations and yet at other times may descend and plummet to the depths of sorrow not actually felt very often by other animals in other species.
That's interesting. I mean, it's all interesting, don't get me wrong. But that's really interesting that I'd never thought about that, that animals don't actually get that problem.
Well, exactly, because they do not have the same negative trait instrumentation in their life. They do not interact with one another in such a negative way, except when they have to, when they need to eat something. And
yes,
usually when they need to eat something, it is, if they are not vegetarian, it is going to be another animal.
Yes, or sometimes if it is a vegetarian, they might just be, or they might be in pain and they're grumpy.
Yes, quite so. But it isn't exactly the same.
Mm.
You may now have an animal which is responding negatively to some infection or illness which it has, in which case it will be at a low ebb. But it always knows and identifies situations within itself and exactly what is wrong with itself. If it could communicate with you, or rather if you could communicate with it,
mm-hmm,
in a perfect way, you would be able to identify symptoms and through the portrayal of language or with the portrayal of images and thoughts the animal is able to send to you,
mm-hmm,
you would then be able to determine the problems that it is suffering from.
Right.
So it isn't to say that animals are always aloof of sensory situations which are pain-inflictive, which are to do with certain anomalies to do with their well-being. Naturally, they will respond differently to certain situations of the events around them. They will become depressed, particularly if they are living in stolid conditions.
Hmm.
If they, for example, have been taken out of their natural habitat and are forced to live in a cage or some other such event,
mm,
you will have a typical response of an animal who has been caged, which is pacing, swaying the head backward and forward, side to side, pacing up and down, or whatever it is.
Mm.
That is a typical situation of an animal who is unhealthily unhappy,
mm,
and its vibration has become distinctly lower. This animal will then become more susceptible to anguish, to distress, which will bring on illness and inactivity, and prolonged situations of this kind of event will eventually lead to the animal's passing.
Mm-hmm. It will really render it incapable of coping with life.
Yes, quite so. And of course this can actually be something which is quite a short-term thing. It can develop very quickly, particularly if the animal is used to being outside. If it is suddenly caged for no apparent reason and it does not understand why it is being caged, it will actually drop very quickly into the realm of being ill.
Mm, and I suppose that all depends on the particular animal. More species are more,
yes,
susceptible than others.
Although I have to say, yes, that is quite true, but also that certain individuals of that species will be more susceptible,
mm,
than others. Some will be able to ride it out, others will not, and will succumb readily to any form of disease because their vibration has descended to such an extent. Now, I am not actually saying that by stating, as it were, in the first instance, that animals do not usually become so lowly descended that they do not lose their vibration of interest. Naturally, of course, they do know in these situations of illness what they have to do, because they drive many of their instinctive behaviours which come into play at this point. So if they were left alone, they would know what they needed to do.
Hmm.
It may be that they just need to curl up and go to sleep for quite a long time in order to try to allow their metabolic rate and their own internal system to recover themselves properly from the situation of illness.
Mm-hmm.
It may be, of course, that if they are still confined in the same place or the environment still remains the same, that they then descend even further into the abyss of their illness.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are saying is that in the normal run and scheme of things, of events, the vibration of a particular animal will be at a fairly even keel. It may be, of course, that with a pet, the animal becomes happier because you have entered the room or entered yet again into its life. Perhaps you are visiting it. Perhaps you have just come home from work or some other such situation and it is pleased to see you. Therefore, it will be raising its vibration with its pleasure, because uppermost in its mind will be that you are going to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
And also secondary to that, it will want to display to you how excited it is as once again you have come back into their life as a head of the herd of which it is a part, or the pack of which it is a part, depending upon your relationship with the animal involved.
I'd just like to say that that's interesting that you say about different animals of the same species will react differently to each other.
Of course.
Very often you hear of people getting maybe a German Shepherd dog because they had one before and it was wonderful and it was a certain nature and a certain way, and or even maybe they've had a few. And so they're going to get another one, and they treat them all the same until they get one that they can't work out why. But they're all so different, aren't they?
Every single animal is individual. You may try to maintain a certain perspective on what you wish to achieve within your relationship with another animal simply by perhaps maintaining a certain genetic understanding of what their parents' behavior is like and that kind of thing.
Mm.
It does not necessarily follow that all of those are always going to be genetically perfect imprints of their parents. There will still be those situations of when one particular animal is not the runt of the litter, but actually has a mind of its own and changes the distinction or the behaviour pattern that others would be used to.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, and people wonder why, you know, because they treat them the same. Well, I've had them all my life, but this one's just a bad one, you know, bad lot. But, I mean, that is because they are different.
But it may as well, of course, yes, it may as well be due to the fact that it has in some way environmentally responded differently to a set of circumstances it has found itself in. Just because you feel as though you are providing it with a good, comfortable home, water, food, and all of those things does not mean to say that it will always respond to type.
Well, what about...
I know that you do try to keep the genetic strain so that it does respond to type. A Springer Spaniel will perhaps always spring. But it may not.
Mm.
It may have different attitudes. It may be it was bred to be a gun dog or a game dog or whatever it was. Perhaps it is supposed to catch water birds or whatever. But may run completely in the opposite direction. Its vibration may not be equal to being around situations where loud noises of firing of arms or whatever have a different impact upon its life. People will insist that they will get used to the idea, where in fact some may be of a more nervous disposition, a different vibration.
Well, and also you get animals that instantly dislike people, and could be the new owner. It might be that they like the husband and not the wife. It might be that they get on with certain people and not others, and you can't really tell. Is that to do with vibration, that they actually like the vibration of somebody?
It may well be to do with the vibration between one person and the animal. It may be they see a difference in the pack hierarchy situation, which has to be made more plain to them. So it may be an actual behavioural problem rather than a vibration issue.
Mm.
However, it can also be, of course, as well you know, that many animals will pick up through their inner sensitivity and their higher understanding of those sensitivities different natures within the relationship between those people involved. So if they have two people who are partners in a relationship and they buy a specific breed of dog that they have perhaps always known of, even... as you say, they've had one before, but it does not necessarily mean to say that animal is always going to behave to type or to the way in which they wish. It may be that the animal responds poorly to one of the partners because it does not know where in the pack it actually is.
And consistency
is most helpful. The point is, I do feel that most people who own pets of whatever form, really, they have to learn to behave themselves with those animals.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by deep trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about understanding vibration.
So when you want to actually physically be able to detect your vibration or perhaps lift it from the situation you are in at this present time, perhaps you are at a low ebb for some reason or other in your life, It may well be that the time is right then for you to move into a different mode of connection with yourself, with your higher self, and understand different ways of doing this are needs to be met.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to feel yourself vibrating at all, you need to learn to meditate. I know that we have spoken about this a great deal, but reaching the divine within the self is something you can all do, and something which will help you to connect and raise the vibration of yourself, that is, to ensure you will have a greater outlook, you will have a more positive outlook, perhaps you will become more sensitive through doing this, and be more peaceful in your approach toward other things. This is because through meditation, you will have the possibility of raising your vibration and therefore being more harmonic toward your way of life. Other people will pick up upon this harmony, this inner distinction, this change of yourself. And truly, the only way to really do this is to meditate, is to go to the divine place within a self. This is a magical place, a place where you may raise your vibration by simply doing one of many things. You may like to chant. You may like to be inspired by certain different forms, perhaps they are instrumental music or to do with soft inspirational music, something that an artist has giftly brought to your ears. It may be that the type of meditation that you do is one of silence and stillness, which is of course something that we recommend that you do. Whatever form of meditation it is, this will be something which will raise your vibration, because it is bringing you in touch with your divine inner self. When you wish to change the vibration that you are, how do you know what vibration you are at? Well, to give you a little idea, if you have a cycle of life whereby you rise up in the morning, or whenever it is of your sleep pattern, and you have a feeling that today is not going to be a good day. When you have that feeling repeating day after day because you feel entrapped by your life, you will feel slow and lethargic. That is an actual physical event. By being slow and lethargic, you are responding to how you feel. Therefore, your vibration becomes lower, and you find it difficult to wade through your life. You feel as though you are stuck in mud.
You're heavy.
Yes, quite so. And, of course, you will, in this state, respond more readily to other events around you which are also negative or heavy, low inspiring, have a different feel, a thicker, murkier feel to what they require of you. Contrary to popular belief, many people actually may respond vibrantly to negativity, which is a strange situation of change. The reason why some people respond in this way to this lower vibration is because they have a parity with it. They feel that it is something that they can equate with, that they are at one with in themselves, even though it is of a negative state. In that way, they can feel enlivened by that negative state. It is perhaps one of the reasons why some people become elated in the state of violence, even though that is a low vibration. One being may turn that vibration around because of the way it makes them feel. It may make them more volatile in the violence they then issue, which is why you have situations where fighting or that kind of aggressive behavior breaks out, and you cannot understand why some people would respond so happily in such a negative situation. And the whole reason why is because of the pheromonic activity this vibration releases. To some people, a negative vibration actually becomes like a, how can I say this, a soporific drug. It actually has a feeling as though they are without control, without activity, without full response of their faculties, if you like. And in other cases, it will be that they are responding in a heightened way to those forms of violence, very much perhaps how some people view violent films or situations that they are watching in different media situations. Yes, and they become quite enthralled by situations of war that they may see, or some other disproportionate fields of violence.
Mm.
And you cannot perhaps understand how they can actually become so engrossed in such a field of view. Whereas to you, it may completely turn your stomach.
Well, what about wrestling? People watch wrestling, they go,
Well, yes, quite
or,
so.
Or boxing.
Or boxing, yes, yeah. Fighting. In.
Mm. But people watch that sitting in a couch and get really het up about it. And
in my day, they used to bare fist fight.
Did they? Did
yes,
they?
Absolutely so. Mm. Sometimes it was with chains.
What, chains on their fists?
Yes.
Not round their fists?
Yes,
good grief.
Absolutely so, yes.
Well, yes, I mean, now they have head guards and gloves on, but I mean, even then, the brain gets a good rattling, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes, quite so.
But, yeah. But is that a form of drugged situation for the people watching it? A high
I would
and
have
endorphin
to say,
rush?
Yes,
or
of course
something
it is. Yes, of course it is. People very often will be attracted to violence in exactly the same way as people are attracted to pain and death that they observe in a vehicle accident or something like that.
Mm.
It is part of the whole fascination people have with things which will lower their vibration because it releases certain situations within themselves. They may feel through this a sense of disproportionate anxiety because they have inflicted it upon themselves through watching it, but also that they will, through their fascination, want to see it through to the end. Will want to see all of those details that they view very much as part of their normal day life. People do not necessarily realize exactly how these different scenarios play out and vibrate within their own equilibrium, if you like.
Well, that leads us on to children and their game, the video computer games that they play.
Yes, quite so.
They can be very violent.
They can.
So what are your thoughts on that?
It is something exactly the same as children who are given guns to play with.
Mm. Not a good lesson.
At a very early age, or at any age. I cannot condone it.
Surely, after what you've just said, it's going to promote this feeling, this need inside them, triggering off these sensations and feelings.
Yes, of course, my dear friend, because it becomes, if they have their lives without this sense of feeling, then their vibration will actually lower. This is what I am saying to you, that in fact, sometimes a negative vibration can be something which instills power, which instills virtues. Other emotional events come around within that person because they become, how do you say, high from it.
Mm.
They become enthralled by it, by taking part in it, just the same as perhaps someone would become enthralled by killing another being or another animal, either with a gun, a knife, or with hand-to-hand combat. In whatever form that is, or they are viewing it on a film, they will still feel exactly the same exhilaration as though they had done the deed themselves.
Hmm. Well, this doesn't bode well, does it, for the future of these children at all?
It does not. Does that mean to say then that someone who has entered into this scheme of violence because they become so enthralled with it that they can neither love nor be loved, that their vibration has descended to such a point that they cannot step outside of that situation? Of course it does not. It means to say that some people will have a duality of their life. They will have a raised vibration, perhaps with some situations which are loving, which are needed, perhaps within the family group situation. It may well be that they respond well to group relationships, to the relationship within a family. It may well be also that they find these different situations of their liking to have this response within themselves, this pheromonic activity derived from the heightening of their sensitivities through violent acts, will actually create a disproportionate view of how they see violence as playing a part in their lives. It will actually distort these views markedly, and therefore it will then begin, they will respond less favourably to those situations which are to do with love. Now, I know this remark will have a very deafening effect upon some beings, because they will claim without a shadow of a doubt that they are quite capable of loving most intensely some other human being, and yet be extremely violent toward others.
Mm.
This, in fact, produces a kind of imbalanced effect within the psyche of the being. So they may well feel they are on a seesaw approach of different responses to different activities. It may well be they are perfectly loving within a relationship or whatever that is, may in fact bring about great identities with God and creation, and yet still respond intimidatingly toward violence. And not see the disparity between them, between those different forms of behavior, between the sense of overwhelming love they may feel for their partner or their children, and yet still respond in this extreme negative, heightened way in which their sensitivity has been completely overturned toward their normal behavior. Some would cite perhaps that this is a vibration of instinct, that all they are doing is merely behaving as those of other generations, as they would have to have done had they been living off the land, hunting and fishing, in order to continue their survival. So the vibration of a being, when they wish to become really happy or really centered, is something of a quickening. You may have heard of this quickening. How do you know when you feel you are within the quickening? Perhaps the more that you meditate, the more the quickening becomes apparent. This is a feeling as though you are actually moving. You are, in a sense, vibrating. And some people actually feel this as a sensation. That they actually become quite enlivened by their upper house unity. Because this form of creation is something which is so very exact. What may well happen is they become enlivened by the forms and situations they may see within a mind. When entering into the divine source of all things from within, what you are in fact doing is becoming more aligned with the unity of your own physical state and your spirit. In which case, the more aligned this becomes, the greater the vibration you will dwell at. What this means is that you will experience yourself an actual feeling as though you are humming. As though if you put your lips together and hum yourself, you will feel that there becomes a certain vibration that moves through your being. And what sometimes you will experience, not every time of course, but sometimes you will experience through the meditative state of divine within a self, you will actually begin to experience a form of humming which overtakes your whole persona, and you will become enlivened by feelings of higher emotional states. Perhaps these feelings may be of love and tenderness toward other beings, no matter what they are. It may be that you become more interested in these other forms, that you take it upon yourself to actually identify the glory with which they are made, with which they have mutated to such an extent of becoming some identification of beauty for yourself to observe. This is something which then, again, heightens your vibration, your senses of pleasure, your sensory awareness of that pleasure becomes something supreme in your life. It gives you happiness. You become enloved with it because you see that as something of purity, of perfection. And perfection is, after all, what human beings ultimately seek. They may go about it in different ways. They may go about it in the ways of destruction and see that as a form of perfection. On the other hand, you may well feel that what you ultimately seek is the perfection of inner self. Sometimes people will identify with this perfection of inner self by producing offspring whom they love and adore, and there is no harm in this. It is perfectly right for a human being to love and admire those offspring they bring. At the same time, it may be that this is a situation which develops through the relationship as it transpires, as you live together and grow and work and continue to thrive from one another's company. This is also something which will raise the vibration of inner awareness and happiness, increasing the sense of fulfillment. This desire will raise the vibration of your life.
You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and if you'd like to know more about us or our work, please go to www.spirit-teaching.com. Yes, well, I'd like to talk about children, actually, because we were talking about animals and how certain animals don't get along with certain people. What about children and families with offspring that they just don't get on, basically? There's some, you know, there can be more children than just the one, and there might be one particular one that just does not gel.
Yes, it may be, of course, that this is not just a vibration issue, because the vibration of whether someone really does gel with another is also to do with the vibration of the harmonic of the particular soul group from which you hail as a spirit being. So this may be something which has nothing whatsoever to do with the physical dimension at all, but is actually something to do with your inner spirit and how you may, in fact, not be drawn to an offspring, or may not be drawn to a sibling, may not be drawn to a brother or sister that you have. And there are reasons for this. It is usually because within families you are not necessarily from the same soul group in the first place. So it means that you are differently meshed vibrational beings to begin with. And I suppose this is a part of what the family idiom is all about, how different identities of the vibration from different soul groups may in fact become harmonic together in the physical state. It isn't like a test or a trial, it isn't some greater scientific experiment which the spirit world are carrying out in order to try to determine what suits which, how a particular vibration may blend with another. It isn't anything like that. It is just that that is how it is. Different beings come from different vibrational states in the spirit world. Some may have a greater spirituality, may be born with this spirituality as a gift, whilst others may be completely the opposite. All of these different things will have a different effect upon the person's persona, how they interact with one another. Exactly the same as different situations in the actual event of their environment and how they respond to that as a situation of unfolding harmony between them. So you may see then perhaps, well, why should it be that different beings from the same genetic stock should not respond favorably to one another? I'm just saying that this is sometimes an issue. It becomes an issue. Perhaps there are deep-seated resentments that have never been crossed, never been brought to the surface, simply because the first child wanted to be an only child.
Mm.
You see?
Yes, I do.
And that this is, in fact, a suppressed feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be a psychoanalyst
No. In
bringing this up. I'm just merely making a suggestion.
No, but sometimes it does seem evident that no matter what somebody, a parent, will do for a child, it's almost like they just don't, their vibrations just clash.
Yes, quite so. You may even have a form of, not hatred, I will not use that word, but a form of distended anarchy toward a particular parent. Perhaps this comes from a form of habit that the parent may have. They may have a feeling of low self-esteem toward that parent. Perhaps there have been situations which the sibling has not agreed with that the parent actually did in their lives, and then they have sunk lower in their estimation, forgetting their actual parenthood and their genetic family life. This is quite simply because they come from different soul groups, and in which case their vibration is distinctly different. As it is, you as a being, working perhaps with those in the spirit world, will not necessarily engage with another spirit who wishes to communicate with you in a subtle way. It may be that their vibration is something which does not mesh with you, simply because you are from two completely differing soul groups. Not that you are angry with one another, not that there has been any history with one another, but just that because of the fact you come from a different harmonic vibration, it means you do not understand one another. And this is something of communication. There are always situations which will bring themselves to light if communication is used. And that is really the secret behind loving families, behind ways in which people may come together in adversity, is very often through the bands of communication.
That's interesting, because sometimes you can meet somebody that you just don't really, there's something about them, you can't put your finger on it, you feel like you should like them, everything they say is fine, but you just don't mesh very well with them at all.
Yes.
Is that to do with the vibration?
Absolutely so. It may well be that with the best will in the world, you would wish to love them. There, as you say, is nothing that they do which inspires anything but the consequences of the highest form of mind.
That's right, yeah.
And yet your sensitivity is such that it sparks a form of friction between you.
Mm.
Something that, as you say, you cannot put your finger on. This is simply because you are not meaning to, but you actually come from different fields of vibration. As I say, this is a harmonic which derives from the differences within your species, because you are all mutations of one another's ascent, if you like, within the genetic minefield that is human history. During this time, you have become disjointed from certain factions of that human history because it has become so large. And because of this enlarged state, you actually find that some sensitivities are so alien to you, you do not know how to respond to them. Which is why I'm saying to you, through gradual communication, situations will succeed. It generally tends to be that because people do not engage with each other because they feel this sense of friction from the outset, that they no longer have any interest. That is largely to do with a mating situation. Not that mating is an intention, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it is actually to do with the way different beings of a particular species may be attracted to or repelled by certain situations of vibration that each one exhibits. It is perhaps to do with the way one bird may feel responsive toward a possible suitor or mate, and yet you may have another of the same species who is undeniably beautiful, and yet it will not respond to it because it too has come from a different vibration within its soul group.
Well, that's interesting.
You see, just because you see one specific species does not mean to say that it only comes from one soul group. It may come from any number of different soul groups within that specific species, particularly if it is one that has become well-bred. Therefore, there will be actually quite a difference between the characteristics of one from another of the same species.
Well-bred, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm saying breeding always depends upon certain specifics of mutation, and whether these are situations which have brought it calm, goodness, inner calm, perhaps to do with situations of how their emotional state reacts to the interplay in their physical lives. These are all situations of the genetics, of which we have already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to display something toward the feelings of intensity of their vibration, their sensitivity, if you like, how they come across to you as a being or to another species as a being. It may be that a bear has a particular behavior within its wild state. It may not necessarily always be aggressive. That bear may have very genuine, loving situations toward its siblings. On the other hand, it may eat one.
Mm.
You never can tell. It may well be, of course, that it will only eat the siblings of a mate that it has just become attracted to or enhanced by. The same bear may exude unpredictive love toward any one of its siblings, and yet reject another, even though it is from the same brood.
Mm.
This may be something to do with how it identifies with that particular sibling, or it may be something to do with its vibration of intent. Perhaps it detects there be a form of illness within it. Perhaps it detects some other errant genetic defect not otherwise known or obvious.
Mm.
And it may be just that it is responding to an instinctive form to preserve its genetic strain.
Mm. There's certain people that we say, oh, they're cat people or dog people. Certain people are attracted to a particular animal. Horses, cats, dogs, usually the fluffy type. I mean, you know, people do like reptiles and things. But do you know what I mean?
Yes, quite so.
Is Absolutely. That anything to do with vibration?
Yes, of course, this is something which is to do with the relationship between human beings and different animal species, and how they feel affiliated to that species is actually something which comes from the spirit world. This is not a learnt behaviour. This is usually something that is instantaneous, something which actually beautifies that being as they are within the presence of that animal, that other species. This may be something that you could not possibly have identified with before. It may be that you have an affiliation with whales. Well, who doesn't? Perhaps whalers don't, but that is another issue. You see, the whole point of this is because of the fact, for example, with whales specifically, they actually bring a vibration of intent which is of a whimsical loneliness. As though they are speaking on your behalf to the spirits of the universe. And in fact, they are.
That's beautiful.
This is something which perhaps people should take note of within when they are objecting to how certain animals should be slaughtered or whatever for their needs. Something that human beings should reflect upon. In just the same way, my dear friend, it will be that you perhaps will be inspired by the meeting with dogs, because it is something of a genuine understanding which comes not just from the behaviour that you have exhibited during your life, because you became engaged with animals at an early age. Therefore, it is not necessarily a specific learnt behaviour. It is also something which is signified by your long-standing relationship with those animals before you had a physical life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Some other people may well identify with fish or other aquatic creatures, whilst others will identify with such things as stick insects or praying mantis. Perhaps scorpions are your field for the day. Perhaps spiders even. Whilst some, through learnt behaviour, have a fear of them or a phobia, others will actually purr over their presence.
And is that a learnt behaviour, the spider thing? It should be spiders, rats, snakes.
Some of it may well be learnt behaviour or something that they have identified with through a parent or an early childhood experience, which they have been involved with, that they have identified with an own inner fear because they were not communicable enough with those parents about that particular species. It was not something that was recognised or overcome. So therefore, this became a learnt behaviour.
It can be your peers as well, not necessarily family.
Of course.
I remember when I was small, I was frightened by spiders because I had a friend that was, and she was old, much older than me, and I used to look up to her.
Yes, exactly.
And then
so,
when I grew up, I thought, well, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yes.
And it just stopped.
Exactly so.
Yeah.
And yet, other forms of behaviour which lift your vibration will be to do with, perhaps, as I say, to do with animals, and that what you will find is that your vibration is lifted by their presence.
Yes.
And, as I say, this is not necessarily a learnt behaviour. It might be. I'm not ruling it out, but I'm saying that usually your interaction with a specific breed or a specific species of animal stems from your relationship with it in the spirit world. And that is something which you feel identifies with your source of home, because it does, because you actually engaged with it in the spirit world, because you, not through some suffering of another life or some other incarnation in physical form. What you actually did was you engaged with it as a spirit form in the spirit world. Because different species that have arrived and mutated on the Earth planet, the source of physical life as you see it, their spirit has engaged with you as a spirit before you had your physical existence. There are many relationships which are developed and grown in the spirit world from different beings through interactivity between different species, between the different situations that spirits interact with. So the spirit of a spider is not necessarily the way of which you see it and observe it in physical form. It may take on a different appearance because that spirit has a different vibration, a different intensity. the spirit of a horse may not necessarily always look like a horse. That is merely its physical accompaniment when it has a physical life. Just because it was a horse doesn't mean to say it will always identify with that shape and form, not necessarily always identify with the instincts or the situations, the characteristics, if you like, of what it has taken up in its physical life. Do not forget, it was spirit first.
Where do auras come into this vibration?
Yes, the vibration of someone who is intense, who is very happy within their lives, who is perhaps spiritually gifted within their lives, will have a certain effect upon the auric field. It will mean that when a person becomes more sensitive, more aware, more in tune with their vibration because of their divine inner awareness, they actually become that this vibration increases the density of their auric field. Their auric field then extends from what it would normally be. So, for example, if you have a person who is not angry, not loving, but perhaps indifferent to their lives, it will be that their auric field will reflect that indifference. It will be perhaps in a measure of 1 or 2 inches from the physical state, from the skin of your being, and will actually not glow a particular colour. It may just be just a pale colour. But in fact, what will happen is that the more that you engage with love in your life, the more that you engage with happiness, things that bring elation to your life and raise your inner vibration and your awareness, of course, of that sensitivity, then your auric field will begin to extend outward. When you have situations of a low ebb, your auric field will detract and become smaller, will perhaps change its colour density, change its vibrancy even. Then when you form into meditation, typically your auric field will change drastically. It will become enlivened by your interaction with your spirit, with your inner awareness of self, with your divine inner presence.
If we want to be happy and lighter and to just generally to feel happy, we have to quicken our vibration by meditation.
Yes, it is not to say, of course, that meditation will always solve all ills. It isn't to say that just because you meditate that you will always feel happy and that life is worthwhile. Because other factors in your life may have oppression within their limits. So it may be that you are suffering from anguish or some other distinction that life has affected upon you, and in which case it is harder for you to raise your vibration and inner awareness. This infinite destiny that you actually feel you are a part of will be harder to assume, more difficult to obtain, simply because your vibration is always being bombarded by these more oppressive feelings.
Yes, but it can certainly help, can't it?
Of course, it will always help. It will always be something which will increase the positivity, that will bring you peace, islands of peace. Even if they are just small, they will still be perfect. Perfect situations where you may be able to understand a greater possibility for your road ahead.
Well, Gregory, we've come to time again, I do believe. And that's been absolutely fascinating as usual. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome, my dear friend. With love and light, as always, be on your journey.
Thank you.
Good day.
Good day. And I'd just like to mention again our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. We have books that are available on it, or you can get them from bookstores or from amazon.com, as well as Spirit's Work Radio Show on bloggingservice.com. On Mondays and Thursdays, we have the Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Details are also on our site. Well, you've been listening to Sylvie Avery, and you've been actually listening to Mick Avery channeling Spirit Guide Gregory. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.